am excited, just like the guys text you red. I mean, I cannot wait. Ever since I was 6 years old watching the draft. Now I'm a grown adult, played for the Jags, and I'm still just as big a fan, and I am excited to see this draft go down. I got this from Jimmy Smith. I got this from Fred Taylor, a couple guys that are pretty good ball players. They said, just come in, do your film study, work on the field, get in the weight room, do what you're supposed to do in there, and guys will follow you, especially when you get on the field and you make plays.
Can the Jaguars survive? Garrard's going to run for the first down, and a lot more. He is inside the 20. He's down to the 10-yard line. He's tackled by Tyrone Carter, and now they've backed Pittsburgh into a situation where the Steelers are going to have to use their timeouts.
He never throws many errant passes. They're usually on time, and they're just money shots.
Garrard steps up, fires, Mike Sims Walker, knocked down.
Oh, he caught it! Oh, unbelievable! Mike Thomas, touchdown Jags! Ball game!
And that's what this organization, that's what this fan base, that's what they want to see. You don't have to whether if he's up or down in this game. He's always going to be steady Eddie, making great throws. That's why I'm excited about Trevor Lawrence.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tom McManus.
Come on, Tommy Mac.
Come on, somebody. They said it wouldn't last. They said it wouldn't last.
Yes,
it's
really
not over yet, though.
It just got better, baby.
The food's arrived. We need somebody to feed us tomorrow because we got today covered.
Oh, yeah.
We had little Grandma Casey bring us cookies yesterday.
Yeah.
I ate way too many of those cookies.
What do you think about some Tullamore Dew?
Tullamore Dew?
Tullamore. Is that right? Tullamore Dew.
Tullamore Dew, yeah. I know this. My dad used to drink the hell out of some Tullamore Dew back in the day.
It's Irish whiskey. It's good stuff.
I
almost brought it in today. But
did you?
Yeah, to go with the chili.
Is that what we're doing? We're doing Tullamore Dew and chili? Or you better make a run down.
I can always bring
liquor store down
tomorrow.
The street there. I think Blue Frequency. What is the name of it? No, you don't. What's the name?
Crown?
Wasn't that Glenn's Liquor?
It's Glenn's Liquor. Yeah. There you go. That's Blue Spot right up the street.
Yeah,
so.
I think they got a hen dog in there.
Maybe. Do they deliver, E? Do you know that?
I don't know.
All right.
We might have to find that out.
Good morning, everybody. McManus and I have made it to day four together. Alumni week. Little plexiglass fist bump right there.
Man. Who would have thought it?
They put the over-under, though, at 11:15 today.
So. Oh, is that it?
You've got an hour and 10 minutes to just really take you off.
This schedule is going to go crazy.
No, I think they'll beat Arizona. No, it's going to be ugly in these parts. We'll break it down.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go game by game for what it's worth, which is absolutely nothing.
That's some good home games.
Look, that's the thing. You know what all the games are going to be. You know who's at home. You know who's on the road.
Yeah.
You just don't know when they're going to fall and how many primetime games. And disappointingly, it's one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not – the NFL doesn't owe the Jags anything in that department.
Especially
but
when you're 1-15.
I really thought that, you know, Monday Nighter against the Jets early in the season, you know, but before both teams go off the rails.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe second week, something like that. Hey, let's debut the two – top two picks in the draft going head-to-head.
Well, do you think they did that with the Thursday night with Cincinnati?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like last year, this year?
And it's a replay of LSU knocking out Clemson in the championship game 2 years ago as well.
Yeah,
Burrow beating Trevor Lawrence for the last time.
And Trevor outsold jersey sales in the first night previously held by Joe Burrow.
Oh,
right,
that
he did
right?
break
okay.
his jersey
okay.
record. Double Burrow right now is scheming how to get his jersey hot again.
come back healthy.
The earlier you get Burrow – the better, because that was – he didn't just have a clean ACL tear.
No,
he had, like, a pretty bad
– Yeah, it was
– multiple ligaments.
Yeah, I think it was multiple. Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
You know, a lot of thought that maybe he won't even be completely right until 2022.
Yeah,
so, I don't – that doesn't bother me at all. Like, give me Houston without Deshaun Watson, please.
Oh, no doubt.
Right? I mean, come on.
For the Jags' sake, of course.
You know he's not there for week one.
Right.
Jags a favorite, Tommy.
So you either want the quarterback out or you want the quarterback knocked out. That's the way I would look at it.
And if they want to knock him out themselves, look, I get it. Everyone's like, I want to beat him at their full strength. I want to beat him, right? And if you could beat him full strength, beat him full strength. But beating them at less than their full strength is better than losing to them at full strength. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I want to win. So whatever leads to more Jaguar victories is good.
So let me ask this. What was the year they were 12-4 under Del Rio? 04? Remember,
I'm looking at Bandcamp. I'm expecting an instant recall
on
that one.
12-4, I think, in Del Rio's second year. Remember, they had a really good year, and I think Leftwich got hurt. David started, and then he made this switch to Leftwich in the playoff game, and they lost.
That was 2005, right?
Was that 05 or 04?
It must have been. Well, the playoff, that was the playoff year. I don't remember the record, but the playoff year was 2005.
Right, so that would have been the 2004 season is what you're saying.
Let me see here.
I just remember whatever year it was. I just remember.
Yeah, 2005. They went 12-4.
Okay. It was 2005. Okay. Yes. Whatever. So I just remember that year. People were like, yeah, but they're not that good. Do you remember that? That was the rhetoric. Well, they're 12-4, but they really haven't beaten anybody and yada, 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 and this and this and this, and then they crapped out. But that's okay, I would imagine, if that happened.
I'll take a 12-4, a not good 12-4.
And then lose in the playoffs.
Well,
and
I'm not going to concede anything in the playoffs. You know, we'll get to the playoffs and let's see what happens.
In the playoffs.
Right?
I agree.
I will say this. I remember having Donovan Darius on in 2006 in that offseason.
Yeah.
Or at some point after that.
Yep.
And in fact, I had him. I remember in 2005, he guaranteed they go to the playoffs. Okay, I remember in an offseason interview, and they hadn't been, in a few years. They're coming off a 9-7 though, and so they went. But I remember him the next year going, "Man, we really caught a break on the schedule." It was one
that's
of those situations.
I remember that, right?
And he admitted, he's like, "Look, you looked up every week, and it was like a team with injury problems or a team just in a funk or whatever, and they took advantage of it though,
right?"
You know,
that defense was pretty bad to the bone, if I remember.
Absolutely.
With Stroud and Henderson and Spice and
look, they had
OP.
A good 3-year run there.
Yeah, they
did. They went 12-4, and then obviously 8-8 the next year, and 11-5 in 2007, and lost to New England, the undefeated
and
team.
9-7 the year before.
9-7 the year before.
Wow,
so
Del Rio had a pretty good run there, man.
Probably should have longed for the days of Jack Del Rio a lot sooner.
I didn't realize he had that much success.
I remember he started 5-11.
Right.
And I'm looking at all the records right now. There's not instant recall, but 03.
Yep.
And I remember him saying, we all thought he was kind of downplaying things, so you wouldn't criticize his record, but he's like, "Man, it was a miracle what Tom Coughlin was able to do
with
this team the year before."
Right.
And
I'm
paraphrasing, but it was something
It was. I remember that,
And then he came in, and we're like, "Oh, yeah, well, that just, you're just trying to set a low bar." And then,
then
second year, jumped to 9, then to 12, 8-8, disappointment, but 11-5. But then falling off in 2008 was the big disappointment. They thought they were going to make that final push.
Well, they threw everything to get Derek Harvey, and Derek just didn't end up being that kind of dominant player they thought they were getting.
Didn't they trade up for Quentin Groves as well in that? I know they drafted him in that, but I think
they drafted him
in
the second round. Right. They were back to back.
And that was they're going to fix the pass rush.
Right. And that's what was missing.
Yeah.
At that time, that dominant, pass rush defensive end, I think.
And historically, Derek Harvey is still good for a laugh if you go to YouTube and look up his karate videos. So,
I haven't seen those.
Oh, you should check it out.
Really?
But, yeah.
He's into karate.
Well, yeah, some kind of martial arts.
Okay.
I just blanket karate is the blanket.
Oh.
It might be jujitsu. I don't know.
It's
something
karate.
Like that. The karate, the kung fu, and the Chinese checkers. E.T., would you be so kind as to give us the question of the day?
The Jaguars Today question of the day brought to you by Carpetbag Flooring, where all your estimates are free all day, every day. Reads, now that you have thoroughly dissected the NFL schedule, how many games do you expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to win this season? 10 or more? 8 or 9? 6 or 7? Or 5 or less.
All right, there you go. It's a poll form. Requires one simple click on Twitter, @MD_1010XL. Hit us up there. Hit us up at Meathead55, at IME2, the T.
Come on, somebody.
641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We've got David Garrard joining us today.
Cool.
You know, part of some of that successful run in the Jack Del Rio era.
Yep.
Big part of that. Successful run. He's going to join us in about 30 minutes on Alumni Week here. And, boy, haven't had Dave in. Gosh, it's been like a week, honestly.
Right.
So, we get a little preview of the habanero chili breakfast this morning. Fan Cam is going to join us in studio coming up next.
Yes.
Yes, we are excited about
that. Hot protein, baby.
I just need a thumbs up from Fan Cam. Did E.T. get some ribs in the deal here? Oh, thumb quickly up in the air. E.T.'s a happy man. I would not have worn that white shirt today, E.T.
I ain't worried about it.
That was poor planning on your part, buddy.
I ain't worried about it. My mama Duke's got me on that.
Mama's got your laundry covered? All right. Well, we are off and rolling.
Shout it out.
Schedule's out. We're going to have a little fun talking Jaguar football. Why shouldn't we? Because it's a squad the rise. Son.
I'm kidding.
All right. You're looking at the Texans there.
This is the first time I've really even looked at it.
All right. We'll get into it. We invite you to be a part of it. Fan Cam on the other side. David Garrard to come. It's alumni week. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, they set the over-under. They say we'll last one more hour.
One and a half minutes.
I think we're going to make it, Tommy.
I think so.
I think we're going to make
especially
it.
Especially with the chili.
No doubt, right?
You know, it's probably a good idea I didn't bring the Tullamore Dew today because we might not have made that 11:15.
This is true.
You get the Irish whiskey going.
Couple of
then
shots, and all of a sudden the truth starts coming out of your mouth.
It's Friday, so it doesn't really matter.
This is
anyway.
True. Maybe we'll have a walk-off.
I'm out of here.
That's it. I'm done. I'm not back for another week. All right, Jaguars today. Tom McManus, E.T., Mike Dempsey, Fan Cam to join. David Garrard on the way as well on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You know, I know personally he's going to light the scoreboard up, especially with all the receivers we got and the running backs we got. So I'm excited to see that. And I know defensively we got to do our job, and I know we're going to do that as well. So I'm just excited for him, and I'm excited to see what this next chapter in life unfolds for him.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
As Josh Allen on Good Morning Football yesterday, we were watching that as we were on the air yesterday.
What'd you think? I mean, what else is he going to say about Tebow? He's not like a bash guy, but it's interesting what he said.
Yeah, I honestly, I haven't heard the cut on Tebow. We can throw that out there right now.
I heard it this morning.
E.T., cut six from Josh Allen, if you would.
Yeah. I can't say anything's official yet, but just hearing his name, I mean, I trust the coaches. I feel like they trust us to go out there every week and suit up and give us all to win a game. I trust them enough to bring in the right people, to bring in the right pieces to help us win. And so if he's one of those pieces, and, you know, I'm ready to get rolling.
All right, so, yeah.
What else are you going to say? But that was I get that. That seems logical.
Right, I mean,
practical, like, hey, I trust the coach. If he thinks he's one of the guys, then I got to trust that, I guess.
Better than what Rob Ninkovich said about Tim Tebow.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He said, I've been out of the game for 4 years. If I put the pads on right now, basically, I'd throw him around like a rag doll
if he tried to block me. Well, listen, Timmy's not afraid to go in the street. Maybe they should meet in the
street. I don't think he's afraid at all.
Like men.
That's maybe.
Get this
pay-per-view.
Thrown around stuff.
Daly's
take the pads
place.
Off and let's duke it out.
Let's go.
Jeez.
You're getting your Duval pride up right now.
That's a threat. That's a threat.
Why not? He was a statement of how he –
I don't know
if it's a threat.
I would take it as a threat.
I mean, if you said if that running back tries to come through the hole, I'm going to make him wish he hadn't. Would that be a threat to the running back, or are you just saying,
Like if I said that today, I mean, my spine would probably crack in half.
Right, but I mean, look, Tebow hasn't played in 8.5 years. Ninkovich has been out of the league for 4. So
just saying it, that seemed kind of threatening.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
sick Robbie
too.
On him. Robbie Tebow go at it.
Ninkovich is your boy?
Nico.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Let's say hello to Fan Cam. Let's
do it.
Move past this if we can, please.
10:21.
11:15, buddy. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. All right. Good morning, John Port, you DeLand Bulldog legend. You, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me in. It's always a blast.
Always. Good
Although
to see you, John.
My contract specifies due. And if there's no dew, I'm going
to
have to take these chili and ribs and get out of here.
This guy just throws it out there like, it's bait and switch. It's like, I was, but I didn't.
You would accept it. You Tommy Mac.
Yeah, you know me. I'm really pounding
some...
the Irish whiskey at 10 a.m. You know, that's really.
I'm not going to pound it. You sip it.
Either way. I'm not sipping the Irish whiskey at 10 a.m., pounding it.
All right, well, let me ask you this. You know, and I used to do this all the time when I was bartending. A Jameson in your coffee. Now, that is some good stuff.
I don't like
early
coffee.
In the morning.
A lot of people like
coffee.
It.
I don't like the you know, what's that creamy stuff? I can't stand
Bailey's.
I can't stand any of that stuff. Eggnog, Bailey, just puke. The minute I smell it, But Jameson, throw right in there. Ooh,
no
man.
Liquor with the coffee.
Good
man.
Way to start the day.
I think I'm taking my ribs and heading in for some Hennessy in the control.
Yeah, oh, there's definitely a drawer in there with at least one open bottle of Hennessy at any given point. It's alumni week. Fan Cam, you're an alumni of this show. Yeah. You've been a host of this show before.
Oh, I've had a blast with you guys over the years. You were one of the first guys that would come by and share in the chili with everybody outside the practice fields. And you've been a supporter all along, and you've done some great PR for me for the chili breakfast and then invited me in here. I've had a blast talking with you guys over the years on the radio.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, it's happy to do the PR. You're the one. You cook like a 13-sausage chili, right? And you serve it on jasmine rice for free to all who come until it exhausts the supply. And
that's the ticket.
First day of training camp every year. It's just a tradition. It's just, as Hacker would put it, fellowship and camaraderie at its finest.
Yeah, was probably the longest running tradition here in the Jaguars history, I would think, of anything.
Close to it. Now that they fired those scouts.
Exactly. Yeah. It was me and the scouts were the only ones left from the beginning. But it's fun. It's a probably average about 150 bowls a year. So you think back over 25 years, and that's a lot of chili.
Man, last year must have felt so strange.
It was weird, wasn't it?
Did you do a virtual one? I'm going to eat it anyway.
My buddies and I almost went out in the parking lot and just had some chili for the heck of it.
Yeah, right.
And people don't know what you were talking about. You literally set up right outside basically the main entrance to the Florida Blue practice facility right there. And just it's not people come up and hey you want a bowl of chili and that's as simple as that.
Always make it mild. Well, the premise of the concept was the guys are out there in the heat busting their butt in the middle of summer, late summer, in 100 degree weather. So as fans, let's show them we're ready to rock too. Let's put down some habanero chili in the heat.
That's right. Get y'all sweaty.
Chili's not just a winter product.
Oh, I know how he got his name.
For folks who may not be aware, the legend of Fan Cam.
He was a pioneer.
ET tells us he has some audio history on that. So, ET, if you'd roll it, go ahead, please. Hopefully. And he's featured in the video as well. And maybe you'll see some people some memories. So
wait, is that how he got the name Fan Cam?
How did you not know this at this point?
I thought his name was like Cameron or something.
No, Fan Cam. His name's John Port. Okay? He walked around with a camera on his head. He called himself the Fan Cam. And he had a website.
Mind blown.
And he would post video. He would go to all the tailgating stuff and walk around and do like a big pregame day of game video for every Jaguar home game. Fan Cam.
Yep.
Cameron. So
I thought it makes sense.
Cameron.
I get it. I would have thought by osmosis. You
now I'm dog.
Out.
So
you were a pioneer, man, with that stuff.
Well,
you
really was. Around, I mean, we did a newsletter around the stadium we handed out. We'd do about a 45-minute walk around the stadium, bonding with fans, trading recipes and libations, and just, kicking it up a notch. Because at that point, we were remarkably fortunate. We didn't think we'd have much on the field for a while. And within year two, all of a sudden, we go on a run and bing, bang, boom. And what an exciting first 5 years of this organization. And we're hoping to get that back with our reset this year.
Yeah. And what were the years? So when I met John, he was Fan Cam in the stands. I had seats across the aisle from him. My favorite. I've never been back, but, man, it really was my favorite seat.
Well, you owe me one, Tommy.
I know I do. And hopefully – this year, next year's the year, right? They win enough.
I remember it was 2017. We were in the studio early in 2017, and I'm like, this is the playoff team.
Was it a good time?
If that team goes to the playoffs this year, I'm getting my tickets back with you guys. So anyway, we got the whiskey and the scotch is waiting in section
140. What are you, 7?
148.
You're 8.
You're 147.
I was 149 or something like that.
Yeah.
Last row of the south end zone.
Right under the bike.
I remember you saying how you loved it. Yeah, because you could stand up and nobody complained.
Nobody bothered you. Oh, it's just great. Except when the Bills fans showed up. They got so drunk, they puked all over right in front of – and not in our row in front of us. We're like, you disgusting people. Get the hell out of here. And security had to come and take – remember them? They were a rowdy bunch.
The wife's a Bills fan. Her whole family's from Buffalo.
Man,
so,
they were yakking. I'm like, amateur. Get out of here.
It's going to be crazy.
That was my bride. We got escorted out of there.
You can't be puking at a
more than one occasion where I was leaning over that railing, handing you a cocktail of some sort,
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I remember those
days. Tom doesn't care at that point.
It was a good time.
Just hand it to me. Let me drink it.
Especially, actually, they were playing pretty well then. That was when it was fun.
Yep.
That was fun.
The years you were talking about earlier when Del Rio had a good run. The thing that troubled me about Del Rio is he's a defensive guy, and yet every year the defense would provide less and less pressure on the other team. It was straight downhill.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me. I used to do a pressure gauge where I donate to the Jaguars Foundation $10 for what a pressure point, which was a sack was one and a turnover of any type was 2 points. So basically a turnover would be $20 to the Jaguars Foundation. Any type of – that was before they had pressures and all the other,
yeah,
you know, the stats that they pump out these days. So, and at the – right before the Christmas game, I'd go up with a check for Dolores Weaver and a couple dozen roses, and they'd let me in there remarkably with my gear on. They let me in the Weaver suite, and I'd give them give her a check, usually about $1,000 or so.
Yeah.
But every year that check would go down a little bit because of the lack of pressure on the quarterback. So.
Wow. Yeah, well, like we were saying earlier, he gambled on, you know, Harvey and Quentin Gross, thinking they were going to fix that outside, and they – and now, look, Spice did – Spicer was a great player.
He was a very good player.
I mean, he was a tough, tough player. He was – I mean, he would get to the QB, but he wasn't known for being a sack guy.
Well,
great against the run, right? He was
very
tough.
After Brackens, there was quite a – it was a void of that kind of – and that's what you need in the NFL. And
still might be, by the way, right? I mean, we got to hope Josh Allen returns to his rookie season form, but even if he does – that's one guy. You can isolate one guy if you're an offensive coordinator. That's the only threat on the other side.
That was the problem, right? When Ngakoue was here, he was the guy they slid to protection to, and Josh was typically one-on-one. And
he benefited, sure.
But then when they slide it to him
– somebody else is going to have to get the job done.
And it wasn't happening. So that's,
that'll be one of the most significant revelations of the offseason work Urban's done since he got here.
Yeah.
As we're – in media, the fans and everybody's focusing on one or two big names, which an injury or two later and you're back to square one – they went out and, with 12, 13 free agents brought in,
yeah,
and a lot of them, other than a couple veterans in Jones and Hyde to stimulate a little veteran presence in those two rooms, most of the guys were 27, 28 coming off their first contract.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
perfect
you got
time.
Ward and Malcolm Brown in the middle.
Yeah.
Ward's
going to be a beast.
Oh,
he's going to be an absolute beast.
I mean, so now we've got a number of players that might be providing a lot more pressure than you realize
you're
at this point. You got guys stepping up on the outside. So we'll see what happens, but it's important to get pressure in this league or you're in for a long day.
And think about a lot of teams that have the bull, the Boza and the Ingrams. You got it on the other side. Tampa Bay had it, with Pierre Paul and Barrett.
Barrett.
You got to have that remember the Giants. How did they win? They had three pass rushers that you had to worry about on passing downs. That's how important that position is.
I think by doing that in free agency, it gave them the opportunity to go into the draft and take some gambles. It's a tackle who might have been one of the top tackles in the league and gone in the top 10, top 15, were it not for the opting out and the injury. The same thing with Cisco at safety. And I think the depth they acquired through free agency allowed them to take a little more risk in the draft, and hopefully it'll pay off.
Hopefully it will, because, chances are all those gambles won't pay off. You know what I mean? In your direction. What the odds are.
Yep.
But, we all look at the upside, and if they hit on the upside of all those guys, could be a tremendous draft, but a lot of risk involved there too.
Yeah, but when you're bringing in a high-end safety, a high-end cornerback, three new guys on the front line on the defensive side, you've established a little depth that gives you a little more leeway to take some of those risks, I think.
Well, Cisco is less of a risk just because he's played more.
Just anytime, though, you're talking about a guy coming off an injury that he suffered very recently. I mean, just in October.
Yeah,
half a year. You don't know how he's going to react coming off that. But, if he gets a clean bill of health, 6 months from now.
The ACL for both of them? Knee for both of them? Walker and Cisco? Yeah. Today you should, there's so much better with surgery fixing things.
Knock on wood. Don't know 100%
right.
until we actually see him back in action.
And I would surmise that there's not a lot of guys that have been playing football for 10, 12 years at that point in their life that couldn't use a little cleanup in the knee.
I could use it right now.
I know
I'm
could use
no
cleanup in about 10 places.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah,
you going to hang around a little bit?
Yeah, I'll get some chili heated up for the next segment and to get in there and have some Hennessy and ribs with E. And love chatting with you guys, so it's a lot of fun.
Fan Cam's invited to the barbecue, E.
Pull up.
All right, there
pull
you go.
Up.
David Garrard's going to pull up on the other side.
Oh,
it's alumni week, so we'll check in with one of the Jaguars' most successful quarterbacks in their storied history and get his thoughts on the schedule release and everything else going on with Jaguar football. If you want to be a part of it, you know the ways to do it. 641-1010 on the phone line or the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or hit us up on Twitter. Today, we've got the poll out there about how many games, what range you think the Jaguars' win total will fall in, 10 or more, 8 or 9, 6 or 7, or 5 or less. Those are your options today. With Tom McManus, ET, Fan Cam has joined us. I'm Mike Dempsey. David Garrard on the other side on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Third down coming up. Garrard pressured and brought down. Reggie Torpor got out of that. Sacked by Torpor. Yeah. That's the beauty of Garrard to the 21-yard line, first down. He's a guy who's big enough and strong enough to get out of plays like that.
It's like a class reunion. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
That's the beauty of David Garrard. One of the many beauties of David Garrard. His ability to escape the hit, escape the pressure, and still make a play. I hope I'm not too distracted here in the next few minutes. So, because my habanero chili just got heated up down the hall by Fan Cam. It's Alumni Week, Tommy. Yes. We've got you on all week. Tony Smith is on a staycation. Don't worry, he'll be back with us next Monday. Yep. And let's welcome in our quarterback, David Garrard of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Fellas, Alumni Week.
Right?
What's going on?
I mean, Dave, it's been like a whole 7 days since we've had you on.
It's been forever, man.
It really has. But you know what? It had been a little bit of a stretch, and then it's been like the last 3 weeks because we had you on for the draft and all that. So we're glad to have you back here, kind of reminiscing about a few things. I told Tom, Dave, that you and I should really spend time talking about some of our favorite episodes of the David Garrard Show and what a great run we had on Friday afternoons that one season. Did it last 2 weeks?
Did we make it? Did you say one season? I mean, 1 week. I think we had one episode.
Was it one episode? I couldn't remember if we made it to week two or not. I thought we might have made it to week two. But
I don't think so because I don't remember week two.
All right, then we got the plug. That was, you know, we had this whole thing set up. David Garrard, we got the starting quarterback of the Jaguars, going to do a live radio show with us every week. This is going to be spectacular. It'll be the biggest thing going on in Jacksonville sports. Jack Del Rio gets wind of it on Dave's own time, by the way. He's done.
He's watched his film.
He's put in the work. This is like right around the corner from his house, so there's no stress.
It was way too close to game day. I mean, it was Friday afternoon. What do you expect?
Right, I mean, you should have been. What should you have been doing, Dave? Breaking down the film at that point in time? I'm not sure what Jack.
Friday afternoon, I'd already broken down plenty of film all week long.
That's right.
It was time to take my wife to dinner. That's what it was.
Yeah, and all the single guys were at happy hour by 4:30.
Exactly.
Can't have Dave here talking football Friday afternoon. Can't have Dave here talking football. But it is good to have you back talking football with us, and we hope to make that more of a regular occurrence heading into the 2021 season, Dave. Look, we know who the opponents are going to be when that schedule comes out every year.
Yeah.
But for you, as a player, when the schedule did come out, did you rush to see, like, what was the opener? What did December look like? Like, what was your focus, or did you just not pay that much attention to it?
Yeah, it was to see how many cold weather games we had. That was the one thing we would look at. Let's go all the way to December. Who do we play? How favorable is our December schedule? And then everything would just slow downhill from there.
Hey, David, great to talk to you, my man. It's been a while, but great to talk to you. You know, when you look back in your career, Dave, what was your favorite year, man? What was your favorite year in the best team that you led the Jags on? What year would that have been for you?
You know, it was definitely 2007. Everything just worked out perfectly that year. You know, I didn't have anything to complain about. My son was born that year during the bye week. You know, everything just lined up perfectly. You know, but there were other years that, you know, I really appreciate more now that I look back at them. The year before in 2006, you know, it started off really good and then kind of fizzled out there towards the end. And, you know, kind of my Jacksonville Jaguar, you know, hopes of being in the organization for a long time were kind of up in the air, it kind of felt like to me, because, you know, I did not perform as well as I wanted to finish that season, because we had a chance to, you know, make it to the playoffs then, and then had, you know, I think about 3 games lost there right at the end, not giving ourselves a chance. And, you know, but it made me hungry that off season.
Yep.
I didn't want it to be my last season. You just never know, you know, that time. You never know if your time is up. So they brought me back, gave me another chance. And, you know, I really put in the hard work, you know, not that I didn't, you know, the years before, but I really focused and just matured more and got a little bit older and, you know, was able to secure the starting job that year.
That's
you know,
right.
Even though I didn't even know it was happening, you know, I was asleep on the couch. But, you know, that year, and then even in 2010, you know, it was one of my more productive years, you know, individually, but still not, you know, on a team's level. You know, that year meant a lot to me, but, you know, also because it was, when I look back now, it was my last year playing, you know. So 2007 definitely is sitting on the Mount Rushmore of my football career. But there's definitely some other ones that I, you know, appreciate a lot more.
It's a great career.
We have talked so many times, Dave. I, you know, had you on as a co-host or a guest as much as anybody over the years, right? I'm not quite sure I ever remember you saying that you were asleep when the announcement came.
Get out of here.
I don't know if I have. If I did, I blocked it out. Like, because I remember it was a Friday when the news broke that they were going to release Byron Leftwich. And I'm thinking, man, if you had only just been doing the radio show with me at that point, then you would have known, right? You would have been awake.
So let me take you down memory lane.
Dude.
it is, you know, we played that Thursday. And actually, no, that was like the third week, I believe.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so it was the third week. So we still had one more preseason game left to go. And but it was, you know, a big cut day, and, you know, guys were kind of marching out left and right, and we had a team meeting later in the day. So I'm just, you know, I'm asleep this time away. Hopefully I'm not going to get cut, but I'm just going to go rest in the players' locker room, in the lounge room. And I fell asleep, and I woke up, and everybody's like, hey, Dave, where you been? I'm like, man, I've been in there getting a good nap in. And Reggie Hayward came over to me because he sat real close to me in the locker room. He said, so how's it feel? I'm like, man, it was a great nap. You know, never been really questioned on how good my nap felt. But I said, what are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? He's like, dude, you're the starting quarterback now. I'm like, what? You know, that's so funny. It's cut time. They cut Byron. Laugh, laugh, laugh. He said, no, just look in his locker. Look at all this stuff. It's gone. I'm like, oh, wow, it is kind of very empty in his locker. So I'm like, it's one of my teammates. Just, you never know. So then Bahati Van Pelt, you know, he came running in. He's like, Dave, where you been? My gosh, we've been looking for you. Coach wants you down in his office right now. Hurry. I'm like, what? Are y'all really serious? I've been asleep for the last 45 minutes. He's like, coach is waiting on you. They're going to cancel the team meeting later. And I just let coach tell you. So I go down there, and Jack tells me, you know, they've let Byron go and they're naming me the starter. So that was the story, and I was asleep.
It's my quarterback.
Great.
I honestly don't know if
that's
I've heard that before.
That is funny that you've never heard that.
Yeah.
I may. If I did, I don't know. I just I blocked it out.
That's
somehow
funny with Reggie. You're like, yeah, it was a great nap.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, man. Hey, Dave, what are your thoughts on – I'm sure you've ad nauseum and maybe here with Mike, but I'm just curious myself. What are your thoughts on Tebow maybe signing a contract with the Jags for a tryout? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, the former – player in me thinks, you know, how can you bring somebody back, you know, 8 years from their last, you know, regular season plan and try to switch positions? I have a few questions. This is what I'm thinking.
Yep.
First, you've been playing baseball this whole time. When were you training to be a tight end? You know, so were you like in your off season during baseball doing some tight end stuff? Because it's not like you can just pick it up last week and start preparing for it at 33, you know, yep. nonetheless. And then, you know, I think the guys are going to, especially the veteran guys, they're going to have a hard time at first trying to understand that. And then they'll, unless he can play, if he right. can, you know, I mean, he looked like he was 18 out there running around, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's one thing, like they say a lot of times, in shorts and T-shirts. You can look really good in shorts and T-shirts. Yep. What's going to happen when somebody pops you in the mouth, you know, after you drop a stick route and still get smacked? And, you know, yep. are yep. you going to be able to handle that kind of stuff? Who knows? If it's more for getting them in the locker room at a position, not taking away from a quarterback position, and being able to use him as a, you know, like a wildcat or a short yardage person. Last time I saw, Trevor was really good at running with the ball yeah. and, you know, making plays. So I don't know. It's definitely intriguing. You know, as a fan, I'm excited to see what happens out of it, whether it be good or bad. But, you know, I can tell you the guys in the locker room are going to look kind of sideways at first, unless he proves,
yeah.
oh, wow, he's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, if he shows that he's got the goods, he'll be accepted, right? And if not, yeah. they'll be like, what? I mean, we did that with other players in the locker room, too. You know, you'd be like, man,
yeah.
I thought this guy was going to be this, and he didn't turn out to, you know, exactly. that kind of stuff. But
they were usually a little younger when you brought him in, though. Not
that's true. That's true. But at the end of the day, if he can do it, and I don't know if he can, yeah. I have no idea. Then it'll be accepted.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
David Garrard here with us. It's Alumni Week on 1010 XLE. Go ahead.
And it has been confirmed by Phil, who used to work the David Garrard Show, that episode didn't last no more than one episode.
One episode. All right. So,
you know, I knew the CT hadn't slipped in too much. I kind of figured it was just one episode.
Yeah, look, apparently mine has, because you probably told me the nap story 16 times. So, yeah. I don't know what I've been hitting the head, but I guess I forgot. So,
yeah.
All right. Hey, Dave, 2017 Jags opened in Houston, got a rousing victory, and all of a sudden got on a roll, and Saxonville yeah. was born. And look, I'm not saying just because they start in Houston, it's the same thing, but that's a great place, I think, for Trevor Lawrence to get his feet wet in the NFL. You get a division road victory opportunity against a team that's going to be picked to be among the very worst in the National Football League this year. Could they have scheduled a better opponent to open the season for the Jaguars this year?
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought that was perfect for them. You know, a team that's in disarray, don't know who their quarterback's going to be. Just, yeah, like you said, just one of the worst teams probably in the league. Couldn't be better, especially going on the road. I think it's going to be even better for him going on the road, because there, you know, everybody hates you. And at home, you feel like there's more pressure. The fans are, oh, well, here's our, you know, franchise-saving quarterback. He's going to be thinking about that stuff. At least now he can go and work a lot of those little first game kinks, first NFL game of his career. He can work a lot of that stuff out, whether, you know, there'd be some good and some bad, you know, so that when he does come back home, you know, he can already have had a taste of, you know, NFL football. So I think it's great. I think it'd be perfect for him. You know, it's still going to be a challenge. It's still the NFL. They're not going to roll over and say, woe is us, we're the Houston Texans. So it's going to be a good early first little test for him to just get a lot of the bugs and the kinks out and get used to NFL football.
You know, they should let you run out there for the pregame coin flip just to give him memories of the Hail Mary, just to, you know, kind of put the organization in a
yeah.
bad frame of mind right off the bat. That's what I'm
exactly.
thinking.
Exactly, but hopefully we don't need a Hail Mary at the end of that.
Hey, David, with the new quarterback, I mean, we now have three preseason games. Rookie, obviously, you need the reps, but
yeah.
how do you think they're going to approach that with Trevor? Will he ever play, like, I don't know, is the second game like the third game that he used to be, where he's going to play three quarters maybe? I mean, how do you think that's going to roll out?
Yeah, I think you got to do it a little bit different now. I think you got to start the first game like it's going into the second game. So he's a rookie. He's going to need reps. He's, yeah. he's, yeah, they're not going to put him out there for the whole first half and that kind of stuff in the first game. But they're going to get him out there, get him a few series to start in that first game. Let him show. And if he plays well enough, they'll yank him out early. And then in that second preseason game, you know, you dial it up a little bit more, maybe give him most of the first half. It's going to be tricky because you want to put the white gloves on your, you know, first overall pick and all that, franchise-saving quarterback. But you also got to get him reps. You got to get him ready for the season. Now, they may think a little bit different because I don't think they're thinking Super Bowl or bust this year. So they can think, you know what, we can roll him into the season a little bit slower, make sure he's healthy, make sure all the guys around him are healthy, and then really introduce him into the NFL, you know, fully once the season starts. And then he also has an extra game, too. So this is going to be a great learning year for Trevor. He's going to, you know, really get to sink his teeth into the, you know, the NFL, the playbook, the organization, everything. And without a lot of, you know, hope and hype that we're going, you know, to the Super Bowl this year. So it's a good start for him. I think it's a great landing spot. I think the team is really doing a lot, you know, to benefit him, to put things or pieces around him. The schedule came out. I think the schedule looks really good. I'm excited. We got some good home games, you know. So I think just overall, great start, great year for Trevor to be a start his career.
Let's hope it's the case. Dave, rumor has it you and your better half are going to be making an in-person appearance with the Helmets and Heels ladies tonight. Is that right?
We are. We are going to be showing off and showing out. So y'all tune in. I believe we're going to be on from 6 to 7. At Mr. Chubby's Wings, I believe.
That's
and I
correct.
Hear that there's going to be some food in play. So anytime there's food and maybe a beverage or two in play, you know, post-NFL David Garrard is always ready.
I hear you, brother. And JDR has no say over your appearance
whatsoever.
Dave, always a pleasure, my man. Good to catch up with you for Alumni Week. And I'm serious about that. I think folks are going to be excited. I think we'll hear a lot more from you in the 2021 season, and we look forward to that as well, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate all right,
David.
Me on.
There he goes, David Garrard. Told him, Tommy, longer Trevor plays, the more time David Garrard stays in the top three of Jaguars
that's
quarterbacks
true.
All the time.
That's true. That is absolutely
let's have
true.
A nice stellar 15-year career yep. there, and we'll still have you in the top three there, Dave. All right.
How good is that chili?
It's pretty damn good.
My
gosh. I was like, Tom, ask another question,
yeah.
man. I gotta,
you go.
I got to
no,
get a bite in here. We will come back. We got this date in football. We got the gems from around the National Football League. Fan Cam will pop back in with us. We'll go through at some point in the second hour, game by game, through the Jaguars' schedule, see what we can come up with for a one-loss record as well. So all that and more coming your way. We're halfway there. More importantly, 20 minutes and we make it, Tommy. We beat the over-under.
I know.
In 20 minutes.
It's like 19
I'm
going
to try
half.
Not to screw it up in the next 15.
During this break.
All right, Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, not a whole lot for this date in football history. The 13th of May, one birthday we will note here. Happy 50th to Tom Nalen. He was a seventh-round pick by the Denver Broncos in 1994. BC guy.
Yeah, we played together.
There you go.
Tommy Nalen, great player.
That's your fella.
Yeah.
He played all 14 years of his career with the Denver Broncos.
Yep. Yep.
Five Pro Bowls, two-time Super Bowl champ. Lost to the Jaguars in the playoffs, though.
Year behind me. Came in as like, he was like 6'4", 215 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, he was just a thin, but playing line and just grew into this beast. I mean, he was a really good center for a long time.
He was. Obviously, two-time first-team All-Pro and two-time Super Bowl champ. Tom Nalen, 50 years old today. And that's all we have for you today on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
All right, just a few items here. The 2021 NFL schedule officially released last night. Some of the highlights for the Jaguars. They open on the road in Houston before returning to play consecutive home games. The first of Trevor Lawrence's career versus Denver and Arizona in weeks 2 and 3. Week 4 will feature the Jaguars' lone scheduled primetime appearance as number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence will lead the Jags against the Bengals and last year's number one overall pick Joe Burrow on Thursday Night Football. The Jags host Miami in London in week seven. That'll be followed by a week eight bye. I'm sorry, in week six, followed by a week seven bye. November brings three home games in 4 weeks as the Jags host Buffalo, San Francisco, and Atlanta in that stretch. And the Jags finish the regular season at home as they host the Indianapolis Colts, hopefully with a playoff berth on the line. The boat is back. The best of all time, Blake Bortles, has signed a one-year contract with the Green Bay Packers. Bortles gives Green Bay a veteran arm to help them get through OTAs and minicamps as Aaron Rodgers' situation with the Packers continues to be unsettled.
Yeah, I told you I heard that there were whispers that he was going to Green Bay. The whisper was he was playing catch at a local park in Ponte Vedra, and somebody asked him, I'm going to Green Bay.
Well, and the thing was, they said he was going to work out, and then they signed him before he even went in. Yeah,
that.
So they signed him to a one-year deal. Hey. Highly coveted boat.
Whatever.
Is
keep
off
the train running, baby.
Right, I wonder, how does that work? I wonder if he gets anything guaranteed, because, you know, you get, like, in the off season, you get, like, a per diem.
Yeah.
You know, if you're there, you're working out, I think it's, like, $265 a day.
I bet you they gave him some kind of workout bonus to
something,
keep
him right? Because, obviously, like, if Rodgers comes back and they have Love, there's a great chance that Bortles is not on that roster.
Correct.
For the regular season.
Yeah.
So.
Well, why not, right?
We shall see. What are your what odds do you give Aaron Rodgers to be in a Green Bay uniform this year?
High.
You do?
Yeah. Unless some crazy trade happens, but I don't think they're going to budge. I think they're going to say play for us, or if we get a great trade, maybe. But if not, I don't know what to tell you. Sit out.
It's interesting.
I mean, if you're not going to get the value, what are you supposed to do? Just
I think they'll get offers. Like, I've had multiple people who cover the Broncos tell me that they will make an offer.
I do. Well, here's a question. So I know he wants this, or reportedly wants this Jeopardy gig.
Mm-hmm.
I know they film those things back to back to back. Can he do it in the offseason?
It takes like 48, 49 days out of the year. I'm sure if he got
the
gig, they'd do it entirely in the offseason.
Okay.
That's the total amount of work days. So that's, but that's like, you know, if you're doing a 5-day work week, you're still talking 10 weeks of work, you know, that you got to squeeze in the offseason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for him, he's got every incentive to do it. You got to have 10 weeks of down, and there's easily 10 weeks of downtime in the offseason.
Yeah.
So
make it work. Just be busy.
I don't know what, you know, Trebek made, but they were talking about that gig might pay $10 million a year.
Oh, I'm sure Trebek made more than that.
I'm sure he did, right? Yeah, like you would think. Yeah. I mean, because he was an institution.
Those game show guys make ridiculous money.
How much? I mean, Jeopardy's got to be a low-cost show to produce, right? You just got to look one set.
And you go back to back to back to back to back. You know what I mean? That's
right.
You
do
film
five
them.
A day.
You just keep doing
them. So, it can't be the greatest overhead. They probably just roll in the dough.
Hey, $10 million a year. I mean, he's not getting that calling games, you know, unless he's Tony Romo.
Although, you know, you wonder what, you know, the allure of having Aaron Rodgers' name in your broadcast booth, you know, might be, it'd probably be worth a good chunk.
Has anybody seen him on Jeopardy, or is it even aired yet?
I didn't know. I think it did. I didn't watch.
I don't. I mean,
and
I
saw
really
a few clips here and there, you know.
Is he good?
Whatever. I mean, I don't watch Jeopardy,
well,
honestly.
Was legendary. I mean, the way he delivered was pretty awesome.
You know, so comparing anybody to him is probably
not fair.
You know, going to be different. But
I don't know. I'm not just going to let him walk, obviously. But if you give me enough, I would let him. I'd probably let him go. But if I don't get that, I'm going to say, hey, Aaron, you know what? It's too bad, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just that so many people feel that, you know, based on Rodgers' personality, that he will be willing to walk away and turn his back on it, and you know.
Well, from what I've read, and I don't know how true this is or how much they would stick it to him, but if he walks like I'm done, they can get back.
They can
like
recoup
40
a good
mil.
Chunk. Yeah,
like, it was a big amount of money.
Right
now, can they ever really get it back? I don't know how that works legally.
I think they can. I mean, it's
that's a lot to
it's
walk
part of the
away
CBA.
From.
Fan Cam,
mil?
What do you think?
I think they will. You know, they will get that money back. And but if there's anybody that could, you know, miss the off-season summer workouts and still be ready to go week one, it's Aaron Rodgers. So he's got plenty of time to work that in. And I think everybody's going to end up a happy camper. What, did they win 13 last year?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, so how do you shut that down?
I think they're negotiating, too, while he wants out. Supposedly, that I think I read.
Well, I heard they offered him $45 million, but it was for 1 year. Like, they offered to make him the highest paid guy in football. Well, when you consider what Mahomes got, I mean,
no,
Mahomes,
I know. I mean, like, how can, like, I half mean, a come billion on, dollars, Eric, you know?
Right, but he wants more than a 1 year commitment, yeah. You know? Because
right.
Think about it. If Denver were to trade for him, he said, "Look, I'll only go there if you make me the highest paid quarterback in the league."
Right.
You don't think Denver would pay him that same thing? He'll get paid that money.
What did Mahomes get guaranteed again? $200 million?
The guarantee? I don't know what the total guarantees are. I'll look it up, though.
Because that's the key to it all, right? I mean, that's what he wants. Because you're guaranteed that $45 million, but that's not what he wants, you know? So what is that number? And what is Green Bay willing to do?
Spotrac will tell us.
I mean, he's 37, playing at the top of his career. I mean, last year was insane for Aaron Rodgers. He looked better than as good as he's ever looked.
As good a ratio of TDs to picks as you'll ever see.
On the field, he's incredible. We talked about this earlier in the week. I remember interviewing him at Radio Row, and he was getting ready to take over for Favre. And when he got to our table, you could tell he was done with interviews. But we started it different. I asked him to take us inside, like being a QB, and, you know, you got 2.5 seconds to get rid of the ball. Talk to us about it. And he kind of lit up. He was like, "Oh yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, I got to check this, and I got to make sure the protection's right and they're sliding right. And, you know, where's the hot read and where's my window? And I got these guys coming at me." It's just a kind of different.
That's a great question. I mean, because it's one of the most dynamic decision-making processes in all of sports.
You got to get that out in like 2.7 seconds.
And that's why you never know what you have with a quarterback when you draft him. I mean, you really never know, because the few people that can make those decisions in such a dynamic fashion is required to excel at that level.
Yeah.
You never know.
I wonder what the – so I say 2.7 seconds. That's always been like that's the – right, the rounded – timetable to get the ball. I wonder what it is for college. Like, if they did a study, you know, like if they did a study of all the releases in
the
NFL,
you get an extra
before you get hit,
or half second,
what do you get?
Or what is it?
What is that?
It's got to be, obviously, it's more.
I would think it's more, but how much more? Like,
oh, that's true, because your protection's not going to be as good as well. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the defensive players you're going up against aren't as quick, but your left tackle may not block as well either. So,
yeah, just curious.
I don't know. By the way, Mahomes, according to Spotrac, 10 years, $450 million, 141-plus guaranteed.
Yeah.
But as a practical matter, I mean, he's going to get most of that contract, I think, barring massive injury. Here's the funny thing. His cap hit this year, it's only $7.5 million.
Wow.
The way it's structured.
Wow.
If they cut him, they're not cutting him. I get it. But if they did – $99.5 million cap hit, dead cap hit, if they were to release Patrick Mahomes. I think he'll make it.
Well, that tells you there'd be a heck of a clawback if he does walk.
My goodness, right?
Yep.
Well, for Mahomes.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do find this topic very interesting, because there are people out there that truly believe, hey, he's an MVP. You got to do whatever he wants. He's the guy. Like, look, if he wants to go, you let him go. And I'm sitting there going, no.
How sports changed, Tommy, since you were growing up. I mean, nowadays, the players seem to be running the show as much as the coaches. And in the old days, I mean, that didn't happen, did it?
No. It's all communication, right? Like, if you're going to – look, do I want Aaron Rodgers involved in the game plan? Yeah, I want to know what he is most comfortable with. What do you feel most comfortable with? Playing, you know, calling in these situations, whatever it may be. Hey, what do you think about this free agent wide receiver? You know, man, I like him, you know, and I actually met him. He's a pretty cool guy, and I think he'd fit in well. You know, that kind of – yeah, of course you would – why wouldn't you do that with not just him, but other players as well? But as far as giving them, like, you know, really dictating a decision,
here's how I'd look at it. If I'm Green Bay, what is life like without Aaron Rodgers? And like, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers walks away. Let's say you recoup $30 million from him, even if he strokes you a check on day one. So, all right, great. You got $30 million. And when's the next time you're making the playoffs? You know?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I think
it's time.
I think there's he just won MVP. I mean, it's not like he's fallen off. He's playing as well, practically, as he ever
when
has.
When Favre was let go, how was he? Was he playing? I don't remember. Was he not playing well? Was he?
His MVPs were
long before.
Several years.
That was 93,
in the rear
94, 95. Wasn't it somewhere?
No,
like that?
No, not that early. It was late 90s. Late
90s.
Because he only came in like 92.
Yeah, 96. Right, he was a rookie in 96. Wasn't he?
No, like 92.
It was a magic man. Right, Mikowski was the
starter. Quarterback in the early
beginning
of the
92.
All right, we got to move off this. We're going to get to the Jaguars schedule coming up on the other side. We'll go the obligatory game-by-game prediction because it's so much more important now that we know which weeks they're playing these opponents. And we'll come up with a final record for your Jacksonville Jaguars. You can vote in today's question of the day poll asking you how many games you think they'll win based on now dissecting that schedule. Is it 10 or more? Is it 8 or 9? 6 or 7? Or is it 5 or less for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 2021 NFL season? Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
So let me take you down memory lane.
Dude.
It is, you know, and but it was, you know, a big cut day, and, you know, guys were kind of marching out left and right, and we had a team meeting later in the day. So I'm just, you know, I'm asleep this time away. Hopefully I'm not going to get cut, but I'm just going to go rest in the players' locker room, in the lounge room. And I fell asleep, and I woke up, and everybody's like, hey, Dave, where you been? I'm like, man, I've been in there getting a good nap in. You know, they've let Byron go and they're naming me the starter. So that was the story, and I was asleep.
It's like a class reunion. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
All right, that was David Garrard here just a few short minutes ago talking about how he learned about the decision by the Jaguars to anoint him as the starting quarterback. Not just anoint him, he earned it, obviously. It was fun watching it play out that offseason,
yeah.
You know, and little by little, he kept just keeping stride, pulling ahead, and you looked up and you're like, which guy's the starter here?
Right.
Next thing you know, it was him. And, of course, then you know, much like Byron got released on that Friday, David Garrard, much different circumstance. After the fourth preseason game, they run him out there, of course, for the team luncheon, and he's like a featured speaker at the luncheon, and as soon as the luncheon's over, the way, Dave, bring your playbook.
You know, I always felt like they utilized his skill set a little bit wrong. You know, I didn't think he was a drop back, you know, kind of. He was more that West Coast offense type of guy. And I always felt like Byron, like they tried to make Byron, like Byron was great at throwing the deep ball. He was one of the best deep ball throwers at the time and would stand there and take a lick. I mean, he used to get killed. Same with Dave. Dave would sit there too. But I always felt like David, you know, in 07 might have been his best year, right, with running the ball and getting outside the pocket. I mean, what did he have, 18 touchdowns and 3 picks that year? I think he did. He went 9-3 in 07.
Was it 18-3? Yeah, something like that in that range.
Which was fantastic.
Jags have had some tough guy quarterbacks.
Oh, no doubt.
Blake Bortles was a
tough guy.
Tough,
very tough.
Man, yep. I mean, you know.
Gardner's tough.
He is. There's a variety of skill level, but, you know, a lot of guys that are willing to stand in there and a few that weren't.
Blaine was not tough.
As tough, correct. Right. I would agree with you on that one. All right, we've got Fan Cam here. ET is going to participate. We're going to go around the table,
right,
boys, and we'll see how much Kool-Aid has been consumed in the last Bandcamp's already raising his hand. Well, all right, prediction, Bandcamp, I'm going to say he's got him with 11 is my guess, but we'll see. We'll see when it's all said and done. We'll go week by week here. We'll start things off in Houston. This is exciting. If you can't beat the Texans, I don't know, you're going to struggle to win many games this year. I mean, I think they're shaping up right there with Detroit and one or two others as contenders for the first overall pick. W all the way. Trevor Lawrence paying instant dividends. Tom McManus, what say you?
Yeah, I W.
W. Yeah. All right, Fan Cam.
27-10 W.
27. He's got
scores.
He's ready with scores. How many sacks? Will Saxonville make its debut?
I think we're going to surprise people with 5 or 6 sacks.
Wow. Right? Will there be a hurricane
that hits
that
weekend?
I didn't slip in for a little. Hey, my safety in the community is hinges on what I say in the next 5-10 minutes.
All right, ET, what you got?
That's a dub, baby.
Eat that W. All right, so we're 1-0. We're feeling really good about ourselves. Okay. All right, Tom, we'll shuffle the order each time.
Home opener
with the
Broncos. Coming off a victory, I think they get another victory against
W
the Broncos
again.
At home.
2-0. So you're going to beat Aaron Rodgers, you think?
That might change.
All right, but as of now,
right as
he's
today,
not a Bronco.
I'm calling it
got
a
W. Fan Cam.
31-24, Jaguars.
Jags on top. 2-0, E.T.
Who want to eat a W?
Oh, man. I look at it, and I'm like, this is a very winnable game, totally. Right? Yeah. Denver coming here in the humidity of September.
Yep.
Melt those Let mountain melt. Boys a little bit.
Yeah.
We're 2-0, baby. Yep. Here we go. Fan cam.
Off to the run.
Here comes Kyler Murray running around. He sees eye to eye with Rondale Moore, practically, which is a benefit for those guys. But how do you see it going in the second of consecutive home games?
I think we start off 3-0.
Oh, my gosh. He's got us winning again. No score?
That one's going to be 28-24.
Okay, 28-24 right there. No Hail Murray in this one. E.T.?
We're going to have to take an L on that one.
Going to take that L.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a loss here, too. Yeah, not that I think Arizona's, you know, unbeatable. Just
no, I think it'll be a close game. I mean, obviously, it's months away, but I think
to get
Arizona's going
to
win.
Too crazy with the prediction stuff. All right, so FanCam's got him at 3-0. We all got him at 2-1. E.T., here's a test, though. Thursday Night Football up in Cincinnati versus Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow ran roughshod over Trevor Lawrence's team the last time these two faced off, although Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing defense. How do you see it going?
Who want to eat a W?
Another one. My goodness.
All day, baby.
3-1. I got him 3-1 as well right now. I like the chances to beat Cincinnati. Again, going to be one of the weaker opponents on your schedule. They're going to look the same way. By the way, everyone on the other side is going, oh, we got Jacksonville coming. We're going to catch Trevor Lawrence early. This is great. So they're saying the same thing. I get that. Tom, what you say?
I'm going to say Cincinnati wins.
Yep. Fan cam.
I think it's going to be a heck of a ball game. 34-23. Jaguars.
Jaguars on top now. 4-0.
Can I add an addendum to that?
Of course.
Backup, tight end, third team quarterback. Tim Tebow's jersey sales are now second in the league to Trevor Lawrence. And for the first time ever, a previous 1-15 team has the top two selling jerseys on the market in the United States.
And ETN makes three, I'm guessing, right? Is that
September? It's going to be a great month.
Man,
around
this
here.
Is amazing. All right.
I'm
afraid of what's coming next. All right. We've got the Tennessee Titans coming to Jacksonville, Florida. Jaguars at 3-1. And I'm going to say an L. I'm trying to keep this in some kind of logical perspective for the end result, but I'm going to go L versus Tennessee in this first one.
I'm going W. You know why? I'm going to believe in Joe Cullen. I'm going to believe in the additions they made to the defensive front, and that run defense is going to be much better. So I'm going with
Hope
the W.
Hope so. Tennessee's pass offense is missing some key components.
Johnny Smith taking on.
Corey Davis as well.
Right.
Fan cam.
A slugfest in the trenches pulled out by Jacksonville. 17-14.
17-14 slugfest, E.T.
5-0, baby. Here we go.
No, I think we're taking that L.
Got the L. E.T.'s got the L. All right. So we're 5-0 with Fan Cam. Tommy, take us to merry old England.
All the way to England. I'm going to say a loss.
Loss there.
I think Miami's going to be pretty tough this year.
I think they are as well. Yeah. Cam?
As comfortable as we are in London, I think things go haywire for the organization on the Miami game, and we take a loss on that one, 27-24.
Not on American soil, though, right? We're undefeated on American soil.
In the U.S., baby.
Fan cam, I'm sorry, E.T.
I think we're taking an L.
I'm going to go W. I'm going to say we're going to plant our flag for being at least the second best team in the state of Florida right there. This is more like can split those games between Tennessee and Miami kind of thing. So I already picked them to lose to Tennessee. I'll pick them to beat Miami. All right, so we're into the bye week. I got them at 4-2. Tom's got them at 3-3. Van Cam's got them at 5-1. ET's got them at 3-3 at this point in time. We come out. Cross-country trip. This is when things start to toughen up. Week 8 at the Seattle Seahawks. Who is up next? That's Cam.
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to need some extra Hennessy that night, and the Jaguars take it on the chin to Seattle, 31-23.
All right, lost 31-23, E.T.
Yeah, we're taking that L. Man.
Oh, Mr. Seattle Seahawk over here.
No, that ain't it.
No, all right. I'm going to go with a loss as well. That's a big-time road trip out there. Usually Seattle's starting to hit their stride in the second half of the season. It's right at the midway point there, but I'll go with a loss as well. Tom. Across the board.
Yeah.
Four L's. All right. Buffalo Bills coming in here in week 9. E.T., what say you?
Who want to eat a W?
W. Yeah, wow.
We're going to bounce back.
Knocking off the Mafia. I'm going to go with a loss here. Buffalo is one of the best teams on the schedule. Not, you know, not predicting the Jags to go double-digit wins myself anyway. Cam, what say you?
Well, tranquility in the household if I pick Buffalo, but the Jags take that one in a thriller at the wire, 30-28.
They snap a two-game losing skid and their first North American loss by Trevor Lawrence the week before.
Yes, indeed. The wife won't speak to me all week, but we're going to win that ball game.
All right, we come around to now week 10. This is game 9 on the schedule at Indianapolis. I think they can split with the Colts. Like, I'm thinking sweep Houston, split with the Titans, split with the Colts. So I'm going to say L on the road versus Indy. So it's a rough little stretch for me here with 4 out of 5 dropped by the Jaguars. Tom?
I'm going to say they come back. They get a W up in Indy.
Get a win in Indy.
Not sold on Wentz, you know, although with Frank Reich, he should do okay because they're reunited. They got a left tackle. We'll see if he is healthy enough in Eric Fisher.
Sure.
But I still think we go up there and beat him.
All right, Cam.
Indy plays a solid game, takes us 28-17.
28-17 for Indy, so that's an L and an ET.
Who want to eat a W?
Another W for ET. All right, let's get one more in, and we'll come back and finish this on the other side. San Francisco 49ers coming to Jacksonville FLA in week 11. Tom?
W.
W.
Yes.
Cam?
W, 34-18.
ET?
Wow. L.
L, I'm going to go. This is tough. I'm going to go L. I'm going to go an L as well. Okay. Lost to the 49ers. Again, I think they're going to be pretty good. Could be a matter of who's playing quarterback at that point in the season as well. Because if Garoppolo struggles,
here comes the Lance machine, they'll go to Lance. Baby.
I think their bye is like week 5 or 6. Okay. So something to look out for on a potential switch. All right, we'll come back. We'll go through the rest of the schedule, and we'll look at what the poll results say for the question of the day, asking you how many games you expect the Jaguars to win in 2021. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It was definitely 2007. Everything just worked out perfectly that year. You know, I didn't have anything to complain about. My son was born that year during the bye week. You know, everything just lined up perfectly. 2007 definitely is sitting on the Mount Rushmore of my football career.
It's like a class reunion, alumni week on 1010XL.
And sitting on Mount Rushmore like George Washington, like first among equals kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest one on Mount Rushmore? Is it Washington or is it Lincoln? The first or the 16th? Probably more people vote Lincoln as the greatest president
in
the United States history.
Yeah, because of everything he did with slavery and all that.
Yeah.
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 I think so.
Abolishing slavery.
Yeah. Although, you know, winning our independence was pretty big.
It was pretty big. No, it honestly was.
And how many people get offered to be the king and say, no, thank you.
And that's what biography did, that biography of the millennium, which is just like, I'm a nerd, right? But they did this thing, basically the 100 most influential people of the last 1,000 years. They did it around the year 2000.
Wow.
And every show was about a new person, or maybe every show had like 5 people or whatever, the countdown. And Washington was, they're both in the top 20, and that's what they said. Washington's greatest thing was turning down the chance to be president for life, because otherwise, I mean, you just would have replaced the old system with the same system, basically.
Oh.
And by quitting, that was the most important thing he did, was refusing to become president.
Not being like England, basically.
Right, to not be anointed the leader and step away. Yeah, like you said, winning independence was pretty important on that list.
Yeah, I was going to say.
but either way.
I never knew that. I'm not a history buff, though. U.S. history in high school was right after lunch my junior year, and I fell asleep every – I mean, the teacher used to throw those damn
wake up, you're the starting quarterback.
Not the eraser throw.
The eraser, thank you, yeah.
All right, let's get to it, guys. We're time's a waste in ET. Reset the question of the day, please.
The Jaguars today, question of the day, brought to you by Carpet Man Flooring, where your estimates are free all day, every day, reads, now that you have thoroughly dissected the NFL schedule, how many games do you expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to win this season?
All right, so currently with about 400 votes in, 6 or 7 leads the way with about 52% of the vote. 8 or 9 pulling in 28% of the vote. 10.6 are saying 5 or less, and 9.8, so about 10% on each end, saying 10 or more.
Okay.
We'll see if Fan Cam gets there as we'll pick it up by E. 10-10 take time.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
All right, we left off here. We're giving our take on the Jaguars' schedule. We left off with San Francisco in Week 11, so we move on to Week 12 with Atlanta. I'll just jump in and start off. I'm going to say W versus the Falcons, which stops a ugly four-game losing streak on my list. Tom.
W.
Fan Cam.
31-13, a blowout over Atlanta.
Blowout. Kyle Pitts, you wish you had fell in the draft. E.T.
Who won an A to W?
All right, there we go. W across the board. I really want this one. Tom, at the L.A. Rams, week 13.
Nah.
That's an L.
Loss.
Lose a tough one out there, 21-18.
21-18, and all those touchdowns are on Jalen Ramsey.
You're the best.
E.T.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to win.
I got an L on that one as well, unfortunately. All right, I had the Jags losing to Tennessee the first time. I'm going to pick up the W this time around, albeit on the road. Tom, what say you?
Nah, I think Henry has revenge, and okay. It's a long day.
Buy one, get one free on the mayonnaise. We're going to win that one by seven.
Nice. It's and it's Dukes for those guys.
28-21.
28-21. E.T.
I think we're going to catch an L, man.
Catching an L on
that one. I love E.T.'s tone when it's
right.
Win.
Gets, ah! Man, we're going to catch that L. Yeah. All right, let's see. Tom, I got to flip the page. I did not write small enough here. All right, Houston in week 15. Come on.
Anybody, get the brooms up.
Raise your hand if you got an L here.
Get the brooms up, baby.
Hands up. All right, we're sweeping.
Who won an A to W?
We're sweeping 37-10. All right. At the New York Jets, Cam, week 16.
That'll be a W. We're going to win that one big as well. I would say something to the effect of 31-17.
31-17 it is, E.T.
Who won A to W?
All right, I'm going to have him beating Zach Wilson as well.
Me too. Yeah, right, I feel good about
the board.
That
we're all feeling really frisky here. Now we get into January. Two scheduled games in January. And I don't know how good they're going to be, but I think the Patriots will find a way to frustrate us late in the season.
Loss.
There. I got a loss, Cam.
W. 27-24.
Waiting on that score. E.T.
Yeah, we're catching
the
L.
Catching that L. Now, what do they have them doing against the Colts the first time around? I got to figure. So I'm going to do the opposite here. That would be game, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. 6, 7, 8,
no,
9.
8, 9.
Game 9. All right, let me count it up, Tom. This is great radio, as always. I had them go. Oh, I got them winning this one because I had them losing the first time around. So I got to. A win. Jags win three of their last four on mine. Next up for you, Tom, what do you say?
You know, I'd love a sweep here, but I don't see it happening. I think they lose a
you
close
got the
one.
Cam.
28-27 W to clinch a home playoff game in Lawrence's first season.
Boy, E.T.
I love it.
Sweet dog diggity.
Sweet dog diggity. I think that means a W.
Ooh, diggity, dude.
All right, I got him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Came up with 9.
I think we're
all wearing the teal colored glasses today.
What did I put in the chili?
9. I came up with 9. I did not feel like 9 would be the number.
9 might get you in the playoffs, baby.
Man, all right, Tom, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, you're 8. So you're 8 and 9 on the season. We'll save Fan Cam here for a second. ET goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9.
Oh, that Kool-Aid good.
Mm. Tasty. Cam, win. Win, 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 win. Starting 5-0. And we pick up we got a two-game losing streak. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
4 13.
Wins. 13-4.
4 straight wins to close out the year.
Watch your mouth.
Love it.
To us.
13-4. All right.
Well, so I'll probably get a few beers around town after that one.
You will, you might, John. You know, I think you will.
They might think you've already had them. It's all the Hennessy, people. It's the Hennessy talking, man. And Cam's got them with a rough month in the middle of the season, losing 3 out of 4.
Wow. Interesting.
En route to 13 victories. For the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. I think that Indy, I think they got a chance to sweep Indy. I don't know. I'm not sold on it.
Sweep dog diggity.
They get Houston, Indy, and he swept. Be a good year. I mean,
not if they get swept by Tennessee. I got to split with.
I think you're going to split Tennessee.
Yeah. Got to split with it. Boy, 5-1 in the division is a big leap for a one-win team to make.
All right, 4-2.
But hey, yeah, we're at least. we're somewhere around 500. This guy over
here. You can never claim that my beer is not half full.
Oh, no. Well, it's probably in your stomach.
Overflowing.
Right. It may be empty at the moment.
I blame Ian the Hennessy on that one.
Oh, my gosh. 13-4.
So what do we got? 13-4, home playoff game, rookie of the year, MVP. What else we got? Come on.
Tebow second in jersey sales. Come on. How can you forget that?
And ETN coming up on the outside. So,
well, hey, look, the big picture is, how exciting is this compared to what we've gone through for all but one of the last 12 years, you know?
Well, last year I had them at 4-12, and I felt like I don't know if I felt like I was being too aggressive at the time. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, you're right.
I believe that Gardner. I thought Gardner was going to be a lot better. And it wasn't just him. I'm not saying that, but. And the defense stunk. Gosh, did they stink.
That's the crazy thing. That run defense was the worst thing I've ever endured as a football fan. I mean, when a team just hands the ball up the middle for 12 yards a carry, that's not football. I mean, that's
I do think that run defense will be much better. Yeah, they're missing Fitz on the D-line.
Missing Fitz, you know. I got nicknames. We're on the grass. You know, I don't know.
Well, Tommy, what do you think about the they did a lot in the defensive line to stop that. I mean, but what do you think about the linebackers? Schobert seems smaller and slower than I thought he was going to be.
No, I don't think he's slow, and I don't think he's small either. I think he picked up his game.
He played great at the end of the year. Yeah, how's he going to work in the middle with a 3-4?
Listen, you're only as good as your front. I mean, it's just like a running back. If your defensive line doesn't keep these big guys off your linebackers as best as possible, they're going to run on you. I mean, it's as simple as that. And if they let them off on you, then they got to make the play. But they, you know, you can't get knocked down the line of scrimmage, falling into the linebacker's lap, thinking anybody's going to stop anything. You know what I mean? So no, I think their linebackers were a strength last year. I think they're going to continue to be a strength. As long as that D-line holds up, they got a real chance to be a pretty good unit, I think.
All right, stick around, Fan Cam. We'll wrap it up here in a minute. First, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet, keeping 1010XL on track with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Matt Hayes is here. Little Matt.
My Jack's Beach, brother, Fan Cam. What's going on, my man?
How we doing?
Doing good.
I got some chili for you, by the way.
Perfect.
Phenomenal.
Perfect. It is delicious.
I already
as
posted
it is
on Twitter.
Annually. I see it right there. The bowl doesn't do it justice.
No, it does.
It really doesn't. And you don't have the jasmine rice in there either, which you get when you go out to training camp, which
That's right.
Nice. Let me guess, Matt, today you guys might go game by game and predict the Jaguars schedule.
Probably. How about Carline on 1010XL.com? Right out of the gate saying 9 wins.
That's
believable.
We just went down the line, right? And honestly, if you ask me how many wins, we did a poll today, I'd vote 6 or 7, right? That was
one
of our choices.
That's very
right?
fair.
6 or 7. We went through it. Tom came up with 8 and 9. E.T. and I both came up with 9 and 8. And Fan Cam went 13 and 4. So, you know,
I mean, I'm all for Fan Cam, actually.
We all are. And I thought I had the Jags on a 4-game losing streak in the middle of the season and losing 6 out of 8 and still came up with 9 wins somehow in this whole mess. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, man.
That's Pollyanna world, baby. That's Pollyanna. I love it.
Like I said, my gut tells me 6 or 7, but doing it game by game, you know, maybe I didn't want to give Tennessee enough credit or something along those lines. But,
You know, and anything can happen in the game. So who knows? Yes, maybe they do go 13-4 and shock the world.
I mean, it's
17-0. Baby.
Who did it recently? San Fran went 4-12 to 12-4, right, in 1 year?
Mm-hmm. It's a weird squad, though. They've had that year they went to the Super Bowl. The other 3 years of Kyle Shanahan have been losing seasons.
True that.
For the 49ers.
Yeah, right.
All right, so Matt, what else do you guys have coming up today?
We got former Jack Brant Boyer coming on at 1.
Break
it down a little bit. I mean, it's truly amazing when you think about it how two guys, the coach and the quarterback, can change the fortunes of what everyone thinks will be from a team that really last year was terrible.
Hey, Brant has withstood 2 firings now.
Yeah, he has. That's
and
right.
He's still with the team. That
good
says
dude,
a
man.
Lot about him
good
as a
dude.
Coach, man.
Yeah.
He's
Matt,
a great coach.
Have a good show today.
All right, boys.
XL Primetime for the next 3 hours here. All right. Give us some details, Fan Cam, for folks to look forward to. The habanero chili breakfast when it rolls around. It's basically just first day of training camp that's open to the public, right?
Right outside the facility. Come one, come all. We keep it mild so everybody can enjoy some, and there'll be plenty of homemade hot sauces there to kick it up a notch if you want.
Bro, if I can eat it, anybody can eat it. I'm not a big spicy food
guy. Oh, you're
guy.
Not?
No, not at all.
My wife's
and,
big time. Holy cow.
Went to town on it, though. Quite delicious. Appreciate the visit. There you go. Thank him.
Yeah.
This guy.
I'm not a homemade
watermelon Carolina Reaper hot sauce.
Oh, yeah, and that's not for me.
Fear the Reaper.
Amen, baby.
That's not for me. That's good. Blue Oyster called. I'm with you.
B.O.C.
B.O.C. There you go. Tom pointed at me like, he's pointing.
Yeah, come on, that's your era.
He pointed at me and nodded like, you know this one, right? You got, Tom, by the way, knuckle up, buddy. We made it.
We did.
11-15
is
in the rear view, bud. We've done 4 days. All right. Thanks.
We'll celebrate tomorrow.
We will.
We're going to celebrate.
He's going to bring the dew. I'm worried. I'm a little worried. It's going to get out of hand on Friday's program. Ryan O'Halloran will join us tomorrow. Enjoy sucking then. That guy. He will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about Denver a little bit.
Yeah.
Denver coming to town, right?
Yeah, how about
that? Home opener for Trevor Lawrence and the crew. That'll
Who
do it for us today. We all do. We want to eat 13 of them like Van Camp predicted.
While we're eating the habanero chili.
And drinking the Tullamore Mordew or the Hennessy or whatever.
Whatever
makes you happy. Just use a designated
all
driver.
Welcome.
For Tom McManus, for E.T., for Van Camp, awesome. Thanks to David Garrard for joining us today as well. Stick around. XL Primetime is next. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today returns tomorrow from 10 to noon on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
George Jacksonville.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a great night.